We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Wow, a wonderful night already this evening. Take your Bible tonight to the book of 1 Thessalonians, if you would, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pastor, I don't know that you've looked around, but we've got a great crowd here tonight, and that is a blessing. I'm glad that you all came to honor him and show respect for his 10 years of service and ministry. When I left the hotel, I saw those rain clouds coming, and I was a little concerned. You know what they say, 19 drops of rain keeps 20 Baptists out of church. So I was amazed to see you all here tonight, for sure. Glad we got in underneath that before it all started. Now, going home may be another story, but at least you're here this evening. I'm going to just share a few thoughts with you tonight. I'm not going to speak long. In fact, I like the theory, stand up, speak up, shut up, and sit down. So that's kind of what I'm going to do tonight, just share some things with you that I hope will just be a blessing to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I call your attention to verse 12 and verse 13. Paul's writing this. And he said, we beseech you, brethren, so he's writing to Christians, and he's pleading, he's begging, if you will. He said, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. He's writing, of course, to challenge these believers to have the right mindset, the right attitude, the right spirit towards those pastors, those leaders in the church. And it's interesting to me that he likens their behavior in verse 13 to having peace among yourselves. You know, sometimes churches are full of turmoil. I mean, friction, conflict. And I think part of that is they don't have the right attitude when it comes to church leadership. They just don't have that spirit. I actually have been called it moderate, I call it referee, a few churches where we had folks on this side who wouldn't speak to people on this side, and people over here wouldn't speak to people over here, and these people were compromisers. They didn't care. I mean, it was, you know, this group against this group, and these folks were just trying to be Sweden, I mean, neutral or Switzerland in the midst of it all. And, you know, it's just a hard thing to be in a church environment like that where people are just so angry and hostile and lacking contentment and peace among themselves. And, you know, that is not God's will. That is not God's plan. One of the delights about being here at Faith Baptist Church is that that attitude does not prevail here. There's a sweet spirit here. There's a unity here. And you can sense it. You can feel it. You can see it. It is obvious in the hearts and lives of people. And, of course, again, it stems from leadership that has been in place at this church for these years now. Long, I suspect, before your pastor came, but certainly since he's come. And the deacons and the pastoral staff and just leaders that have just set that example of serving the Lord Jesus Christ together. And, you know, it doesn't matter who gets the glory as long as God gets the glory. You know, sometimes we think, well, I want the credit for this or the credit for that. But that's just such an immature way to view ministry. We're doing it for him. Amen? It's all about what we can do for him. But I call your attention in verse 12 and verse 13 for a moment. There's, again, two little expressions here. And when I read the Bible and study the Bible, I always am just kind of looking for these unique things that I think the writer, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was endeavoring to communicate. And in verse 12, we find this little phrase, to know them. And then in verse 13, a similar phrase, to esteem them. So keep that in mind. We beseech you, therefore, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourself. The idea behind those phrases, to know them, to esteem them, is to recognize their value, is to acknowledge their significance to that local church, to that local assembly, to respect their labor and their leadership. You know, it is sad to me that some churches do not appreciate their pastor until the pastor is gone. It happens sometimes. They don't value, they don't esteem, they don't understand what a gift from God a pastor is, a spiritual man. They somehow miss that, and they don't know the value that they have in that leader. I have some friends years ago who decided to move from Chicago, and they came down here to Florida somewhere. This was a number of years ago, and they bought one of these little roadside motels. I mean, you know, 12 or 15 rooms, and their thought was, we're just going to kind of use this as retirement, if you will. We'll just get this little motel, and it'll help us with our income. And so they got this little hotel, and they decided we need to remodel each room one at a time. So they invested a little bit of money, and they kind of went down those rooms, and finally came to one, and they saw this oil painting in the room, and they thought, well, this looks a little bit nicer than what we've seen in these other rooms, so let's go get this appraised. And they got it appraised, and what they realized was they had a painting by a famous artist that, quite frankly, cost more than what they paid for the entire motel. The former owners did not know the value of that painting. They didn't appreciate what they had because they really didn't even know what they had. And you know, I think sometimes that can be said about leadership in a church. Sometimes we don't know what we have. We don't appreciate what we have. But you know, if you ever go outside of this church to other places, I think you'll come back here and appreciate what you have. I think you'll see what you have. And by the way, not just your senior pastor, although we focus on him today, but I can talk about these other men as well, each and every one of them, their skill, their dedication, their commitment to Christ, their loyalty to the pastor. And that creates a unity and a specialness in a church family that is exceptional and wonderful. And so, you know, I challenge you quickly tonight about just thinking about, esteeming, valuing this pastor or these pastors that God has placed into your life. So I want to share with you just a few thoughts about that tonight. Maybe some things you never thought about as it relates to being a pastor. I mentioned this morning I've been at this for 43 years full time. So having done that and having preached in all of these many churches, seeing different pastors on the journey and kind of what they go through and what they experience, I just want to kind of share a little bit of that with you tonight. The first thing I would say to you tonight, and again, this is not a fine biblical exposition as much as I'm just giving you a little bit of philosophy, a little bit of insight, I guess. An average day in the life of a pastor is like riding a nonstop roller coaster. Think about that. It's a nonstop roller coaster. It is filled with multiple emotional highs and lows every day. You go from one conversation to one phone call to one person knocking at your door, to one letter that comes in the mail, to one email that crosses your computer, and it deals with all kinds of things, up and down. Some deep spiritual issues that are really, really important and theologically deep. Then you go to someone in the church who's going through an illness. They just got the word, unexpected illness. Or you're thinking about maybe someone compliments your leadership or compliments your ministry. And the next one is somebody who barges into your office with some petty criticisms about who knows what. And you have to handle that. Then there's a celebration of a new baby that's been born. And then there's the death of a longtime member. And you're just bouncing from all of these things. Tragedy to victory, people who are leaving the church, people who are coming into the church, financial issues that you have to handle, questions just by the dozens that pastors have to answer. And it's up and it's down and it's up and it's down and it's up and it's down and it's up and it's down. What that does is it's a draining condition. And if a pastor does not pull aside and have time just to kind of heal and spend time with the Lord, I want you to understand how difficult that is. And again, I don't know that the average member really even thinks about that. They just have their world and their issues, but you've got that compounded by hundreds and hundreds of people in the case of your church. And all of that kind of funneling into this pastor and then to these other pastors through him to try to minister to and help and guide and direct. And so there's that a pull that occurs each and every day in the life of a pastor. The second thing I would share with you is this. A pastor's world is like living in a fishbowl to a great extent. I just came from Oregon. In fact, I got back Friday from 3 weeks out in Oregon preaching in churches. And one of the young pastors I was with has this gigantic fish tank. And all these fish swimming around, and one of them popped out. I don't know how that happens, but it popped out, and he died in the night. He was all taken over. You know, I said, well, how much did you eat it? I mean, what did you do with it? Oh, no, you know, this $30 fish. I think I'm not spending $30 on a fish I can't eat. I know that much. It is not going to happen. But they had this fish, and, you know, I just sat there and kind of watched those fish swimming around, and I got to thinking, you know, that's kind of like living in a, as a pastor in some way, living in a fishbowl. Nearly everything you do is, and everywhere you go, is open for observation and even inspection by people. And it's amazing how God really just gives people that spiritual gift to inspect your life, everything that you do, how your children behave. Now, in his case, his kids are older, so that's a little different, but they were young at one point here. You know, the clothes you wear, even the food you buy. My wife was in the grocery store years ago, and she just kind of left her cart and walked a little bit down the aisle, was looking for something, kind of focused on where she could find it. And when she turned around, there was a church member going through her cart trying to find out what she was putting in the shopping cart. Can you imagine? That's a true story. Your life is just open. It's amazing to me that people focus on everything you do. And they have a reaction to that, good or not so good. It's incredible. Life in a fishbowl. Here's a third observation. A pastor's headaches are more internal than external. Unsaved people gave me heartaches because I would look at their life without Jesus. Without the Word of God. And that would break my heart as a pastor. It was a heartache. What can we do to reach them? What can we do to minister to them? What can we do to help them? How can we break down that resistance to somehow just get the Word of God into their life? So they gave me some heartaches, but they never gave me any headaches. But I'll tell you who gave me headaches. I'm looking at them. Church members, Christians, headaches. You say, over what? Oh, people who got involved in other things that had nothing to do with their life, someone else's business. They just, you know, took it upon themselves to have commentary on someone else's journey, not knowing the information, and then, of course, that can create a storm, and it often does. Or people who get worked up over something that they only know half of the story. They know a portion of the story, and they're willing to go to war over a portion of the story, not knowing the other portion of the story. And it's easy to be critical of leadership because why aren't they doing something? Why aren't they responding? Well, they know the whole story. You only know a portion of the story. And that there's a wide bit of information there that you don't have, perhaps, or a church member doesn't have. And they get all worked up over that. And then, of course, there are people who thought they were the Holy Spirit himself. You know, that they were going to, rebuke and lead and guide and criticize and do all the things that the Spirit of God does, inform, they are the Holy Spirit. And wow, how do you convince these people? They're not even close to being the Holy Spirit. In fact, they're not even filled with the Holy Spirit, let alone be the Holy Spirit. And yet some people just have that, you know, that again, they think that's their spiritual gift, to just invade every situation in the church. And that can create for a pastor or pastors a lot of headaches. You know, I spent a lot of time putting out fires when I was a pastor. Someone said, do you miss being a senior pastor? No. I love the preaching part of it. I love the administration part of it. I love the Well, I'll take that back. Put it this way. There's a lot of it I did love. But putting out those fires that people cause for no reason. And I don't have, you know, they talk about spiritual gifts. I don't have the spiritual gift of mercy. Now, I'm supposed to be merciful, because we all are. My wife is loaded up on mercy. I'm not so loaded up on mercy. So when those little fires would come, you know, I just wanted to shoot them. I mean, I just wanted to be done with it. I mean, just be done with it. You have a more patient pastor. Yeah, hallelujah. Now you know why he's pastoring and I'm trapped. Whatever trouble I caught, I'm gone tomorrow. I preached 20 times when I was in Oregon. I hope for the best, but I'm gone. Oh, my goodness. Let me give you the fourth one. A pastor's job is more like a physician than a salesman. And sometimes we get the idea, you know, the pastor is there to kind of, you know, sell the ministry or sell the church or, you know, push the gospel down someone's throat. They just kind of have that sense about a pastor, you know, that he's, you know, akin to a used car salesman or, you know, a carnival barker or something. That is not the role of a pastor at all. He is really more like a physician. In fact, the old Puritans referred to the pastor as a physician of the soul. Ponder that for a moment, a physician of the soul. You know, a physician's business, a medical doctor, is to check, to restore, to maintain the health of those who have placed themselves under his care. That's exactly what a pastor does spiritually. Exactly. A good pastor cares deeply, deeply about the spiritual condition of each member under his care. It matters to your pastor what God's doing in your life. It matters to him that you're spiritually healthy. It matters to him that you're meeting with God every day in his word. It matters to him that you're filled with the Spirit. It matters to him that you're letting your light shine among lost people in the world. It matters to him when you're in church. It matters to him when you're not in church. It matters. See, it's so important. He wants you to be healthy spiritually. He wants you to have a song in your heart, and he wants you to be all that God wants you to become. Like a good physician, a pastor will not tell you what you want to hear. If you go to him, he'll tell you what you need to hear. And you know, sometimes that can be hard to hear it. I always get tickled by people who talk about medical doctors, and they'll say something like, well, you know, this medical doctor is good. I mean, they are so good, they'll tell you what you need to hear. I mean, they're firm, but you got to know, they're tough, they're rough. I mean, they're hard, but they'll give it to you. They'll give it to you. But that same standard doesn't apply to pastors. You know, they want someone as gentle as can be, who will just, you know, kind of, you know, just whisper in your ear what you need to hear, instead of someone who will just boldly say, this is what God says. This is what you need to do. This is how your life needs to go forward from this point. You know, people turn to pastors, and it happens so often in our ministry where they, for years, made poor decisions, violated the Word of God, rejected the Word of God, failed to attend the house of God. They just messed up their life, and then they want the pastor to put it together in 15 minutes. And I would say to them, the way to get out of this mess of having made all these bad decisions is to start making good decisions. Good decision one is get into the Bible. Good decision two is be faithful to God's house. Good decision number three is to spend time in prayer. Good decision number four is to be around God's people that can lift you up and encourage you and love you and pray for you and get in a small group that'll provide that type of energy in your life. That's what's so desperately needed. But you know, people sometimes just don't want to hear that. And so as a physician would say, you've got to take the medicine. If you're going to get well, you got to take the medicine. I was out in Oregon this past week and felt kind of sickly and ended up going to an urgent care out there, and the doctor said, now you've got bronchitis, and I'm going to give you this prescription. But she says, I don't even know you, because I don't live out there. So she said, you've got to take this medicine. if you're going to get well, you've got to take this medicine. Apparently, she's had some, probably men, who got the medicine and didn't take the medicine. So she was lecturing me about that. So what I'm saying to you is when you gather in the church house on Sunday and your pastor preaches, take the medicine. Amen. When you have an issue in your life and you turn to him for advice or counsel or help, you know what? Take the medicine. Take the medicine. And you can become what God wants you to become. I want you to turn in closing to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7 and verse 17. The Bible says, remember them which have the rule over you. You say, well, who are those people? Well, here they are identified. Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, that conversation means lifestyle or conduct. So you watch their life and you say, wow, that's a life worth emulating. That's a life worth following. Paul said several times in the New Testament, follow me as I follow Christ. He wasn't saying, you know, put me on a pedestal or name some city in Minnesota after me, but just, you know, follow me. I want you to follow. Let's go on the journey together. And so what is the challenge? Well, it's simple. It's clear. It says, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Remember them. Obey. Take the medicine. Then verse 17, again, the same concept. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You know, one day your pastor is going to stand before the Lord and he's going to give an account for his leadership, his pastoral ministry in this church. And what we need to do is help him watch over the souls of this congregation. Let's not impede his leadership and his progress. By the grace of God, let's help him succeed to build, by the grace of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the membership that God wants in this place. And so for 10 years, he's led faithfully, diligently, prayerfully, consistently. I don't know about you, but I'm praying that God gives him another 10 years, 20 years, whatever. But folks, jump on board. Take the medicine. Be part of what he wants to do. And just submit to that leadership as you have these 10 years, and God will honor that, I'm sure.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.